Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know if you could hear that, but I was beaten with the own drum roll beat that opens the show. I didn't say that right. Welcome to the Iron Jaw Podcast. I am Michael Davis. Normally I do sports, and I did explore wrestling podcast right before WrestleMania and after Brock Lesnar's re-signing, because I had a lot to say. And then, you know, I tried it after WrestleMania, the day before, you know, my surgery procedure, whatever. And, you know, I was like, wow, this got a really good following. And so, and you know, the WWE and wrestling in general has given me good topics to discuss. And I was like, hey, how about I ask the fans what they want to hear? You know, I'm going to do this a lot with wrestling because there's a lot less topics I can go in depth about until I saw the questions you were giving me, which I won't be able to fulfill, but I'll talk about that a little later on. I would like to cover three quick topics on the hot stove right here. AJ Lee retires and give Divas a chance. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, AJ Lee, WWE Diva, you know, debuted in May of 2011, May or main roster debut. She was on NXT with Caitlyn, Naomi, other ones like that. And she ended up winning the Divas Championship three times. And Diva of the Year Slammy, you know, you make of that as you wish, twice, 2012, and this past year, 2014, after WrestleMania, after her and Paige defeated the Bella Twins, AJ Lee retired. And that sent shockwaves through the WWE universe. For Divas, I think, you know, you have Naomi, who just made a heel turn. Like, and that doesn't make sense to me because, you know, Naomi will make a great heel, but there's too many heels. You know, you can, and Nikki Bella, the Divas Champion, is a heel. Brie's a heel. Cameron's a heel. Natalia's, you know, borderline heel right now. And it's like, is there any face diva rather than Paige who can challenge for the Divas Championship? And there's no way. So I thought Naomi would fill that role, you know. But what I really would look into is, you know, there's a lot of talk about Sasha Banks coming, being called up. But the one person you have to look out for is Charlotte, the daughter of Ric Flair, the person I saw play volleyball for Appalachian State years ago when I was a kid. Also met Ric Flair that night. You know, never did I know I would be watching a future NXT Women's Champion, possibly a future WWE Divas Champion. So yeah, give Divas a chance, and you know, one of the best Divas leaves. Oh well. That impacts the Divas division, but what about the tag team division? Jey Uso injured his shoulder at WrestleMania. You know, you always have that feeling, is that kayfabe? Is it not? Sorry, fans who didn't know that. And it was legit. It was a legit injury that he just had surgery on and will keep him and possibly, you know, Jimmy Uso out. And, you know, I was talking about it. And, you know, I was actually asked, have you actually been watching the tag team division in WWE at least? The division stack, the Usos aren't the only tag team. And that's not a question I'm feeling. But that's true. The Usos aren't the only tag team, but let's look at the other tag teams. Kid and Cesaro, the tag team champions, they're heels. They're really good. You have two tag teams from NXT, the Ascension, who WWE has highly dropped the ball on because of legend backlash. They insulted legendary tag teams like the Road Warriors. And, you know, more recently, Lucha Dragons, which has been reported they may go into the title hunt early now because of the Usos being hurt. Then you have the primetime players, Los Matadores, and the New Day, who Isaiah Carlton and Coach Reese aren't very fond of, my first two shots of the day. And, you know, those three tag teams aren't going to really contend for the titles. They can compete, maybe fill out a pay-per-view or two, but they're not going to win that tag titles, actually. So, really, the Usos have been vastly underappreciated and underrated. And I was fans of them before they were even close to a tag title picture. And was so excited about them actually winning the title, though it had to come to the expense of the New Age Outlaws and the Wyatt family. You know, who I thought the Wyatt family with Rowan and Harper could have had a good tag title run. But over the next couple months, you'll begin to appreciate exactly how much Jimmy and Jey Uso brought to the tag team division. Before I get into question time, which is just a moment away, I would like to touch on the WrestleMania 31 entrances. I'm going to do top four since I didn't really think, you know, the Undertaker's or whoever else's was that special. Number four was Sting. You know, he had the drum beat and, you know, he came out and, you know, just looked to the crowd. And, you know, that was pretty cool. I mean, it's a special entrance with the drums and everything. People complain about lighting. I don't care. And it was an outside event in the West. So when we were watching it at 7 in the East, it was actually 4 in the West. So they finished up about 8 their time. And in the spring, you know, it gets darker later. Who cares? Number 3 is Bray Wyatt. I thought it was so cool how he would just, you know, use some magnetic force to, you know, bring the zombies, the scarecrows, I don't know. The stuff you find in Alice in Wonderland? No? No, not Alice in Wonderland? I don't care. I've said I don't care 3 times with the segment, but I do care. I thought Bray Wyatt's entrance was really cool. Second would be Triple H with the Terminator. With Arnold Schwarzenegger, I thought that was really cool. And plus, with how it started with him, you know, doing that cyber stuff with detecting, you know, Levi Stadium detecting targets and such, that was really cool. Really, really cool. And, you know, with the robot. Everything's better with robot. And number one, Rusev, obviously, with the tank, the Russian soldiers, and, you know, the huge Russian flag going all across the ramp. Now is question time. Now, I have talked really quick, and I have about 21, 22 minutes left. I would like to say really quick, I got over a dozen questions sent in less than 24 hours, and that was highly, highly unexpected. I know you guys supported me, but I didn't expect that many questions coming from, like, Coach Reese, Isaiah, probably. But he really got me into the tag team thing I discussed. Joey, Dean, Spencer, and Dylan. And I believe I'm missing a couple more, probably. But I'm going to try to do the best I can. You know, I've set it up to where we kind of go in order with, you know, nostalgia, and then, you know, turn to a little more modern-day wrestling. And then I got quite a few questions because I told people I was into e-feds, role-playing, and bookers where I actually write out things happening. Like I have an ECW 2006 booker and a WWE 2015 modern-day booker that I started after WrestleMania. I left those 4 questions to the bottom, okay? Well, I grouped them together. So if I get to them, if I have time, I will do it. But if I only have, like, a couple minutes left, I'll just do my fillers. I'll be honest there. I'll just do my fillers, and I will cover yours the next podcast or the one after that. Because I truly feel that I wouldn't do it justice by just rushing through and, you know, not giving you a real in-depth and insight answer to it. So the first question I would like to talk about is the fall of WCW, Aaron by Spencer. And I probably won't give you credit for all these answers. I mean, all these questions. So I kind of gave you shout outs before. So just remember that. I did give you a shout out. You know, it was a number of factors. The fall of WCW is the first question entered today for the podcast, The Fans' Choice of Wrestling. Too many NWO teams. You know, and NWO really became bigger than WCW. It was a whole brand on it. You know, that I mean, it sort of helped turn the tide and really sparked the Monday Night War and, you know, gave them a lot of success, but they didn't know when to kill it. And they didn't know when to stop with the wrestlers because, you know, the NWO would bury just about everyone on the roster. And then those other low carders that had become, they were getting mad and saying, I want to be a part of the NWO. And they let them be a part of the NWO. And they created so many different things like the Blue World Order and so many other stuff. It became bigger than WCW, and it was just like a gang war. Like, if I want to watch Gang, I'll turn on the Outsiders movie or watch Gang Related, which I haven't watched that in a little while. It was good, though. And, of course, you know, David Arquette as the world champion. Do I have to really go in detail about that? David Arquette, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, many people don't realize that WCW lost some really good wrestlers. And if it wasn't key for their promotion, or never would have been, it was key to the WWF, the WWE's promotion. Okay? Get this. I'm going to name just a few that you may or may not have known was in WCW that went to WWE, you know. I did put Rob Van Dam in here. I know he was in, you know, ECW Major League. But he was also a part of WWF and helped with that. But Chris Jericho, many of you know him, who called out Goldberg lots of times and never got it. Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, before he was Stone Cold, went to WCW, went to ECW. And Edge, you know, wow. Edge was in WCW. And I actually researched this and, you know, found that out. As well as RVD has mentioned, Owen Hart. Can you believe Owen Hart was? You know, and he put on some spectacular matches in WWF. Incredible. The late Owen Hart. And Sonny. She was such a good manager, you know, she really revolutionized managing in a Divas perspective. Because, you know, before then we had Bobby Heenan and Captain Lou. No disrespect to them, both good managers. But Sonny sort of revolutionized that and, you know, brought upon a whole generation of Diva managers like Melina, Summer Rae, Layla, you know, and you're not Kelly. And you're not going to like some of those. You know, they didn't really hold up to Sonny. And that's probably a compliment to Sonny and her ability. But at the end of the day, it was the WWF product. You know, they took those talents. They took those ideas, you know, to make it more edgier instead of less cartoonish, you know, less good versus evil. And, you know, you're like, Austin McMahon, just choose, you know, what fits your style. And it really related to the fans. No, it was just the WWF product in general, knowing how to run it. And that's my take. Next question. I've actually been talking to my friend Dylan, and, you know, after WrestleMania, he was like, hey, you know, it'd be cool to have DX versus the NWO at SummerSlam. And I'm like, that sounds a good idea. I mean, I don't see why not. They're under contract, and, you know, it's such a nostalgic moment that fans are going to want to pay. It's going to sell. I mean, it may not be the greatest wrestling you see all night, and it shouldn't be, but it's going to sell. Now, I was watching the Survivor Series, 97, Survivor Series of 97. And, you know, it had Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, the Montreal Screwjob. But it really dawned on me, why do it at SummerSlam? And, you know, WrestleMania, you know, let Triple H do something else, let him put, you know, a young guy over. Why not do it at Survivor Series? Do a traditional Survivor Series tag match. They don't have to do everything. You know, everyone gets their moment. Everyone gets their pinfall except for one or two guys. And it works because it's Survivor Series. And, you know, I'm sure if we looked at Survivor Series, we could see a throwaway match or two. I wasn't able to look, but, you know, DX versus the NWO at Survivor Series, I am all in for. It will sell, and it will be good entertainment. Speaking of Sting and Triple H and NWO, I was asked, why does everyone want to see Sting or Taker by countries? You know, I just put my foot up. I'm so relaxed right now. And I hope you guys can still hear me. I don't like the idea, personally. Or didn't like it beforehand. I thought Undertaker shouldn't have wrestled this year. I thought last year should have been in. I thought 2 years ago should have been in. I thought 3 years ago should have been in. But it hasn't been. And for this reason, and, you know, Undertaker, surprisingly, showed up in, you know, decent shape at WrestleMania. And, you know, I think Bray Wyatt helped, and, you know, Bray Wyatt should be pushed. But Sting and Undertaker is one of those nostalgic moments, and it seems like it happens 2, 3, 4 times a Mania now. You know, as it's gotten bigger and bigger, spectacle, you know, it just seems like it happens. I don't know how you'd end it. Would you have Sting losing 2 back-to-back Manias? Or would you have Taker losing 2 Manias? And, you know, he wouldn't come back after that. And it's so weird. It really was weird to me. And would you let Sting beat Taker, but not? Would you let Sting beat Taker and Brock Lesnar beat Taker, but would you not let Bray Wyatt beat The Undertaker? Doesn't make sense to me. And I was asked by Coach Reese also, should the hardcore title be brought back? And, you know, it's really weird because I thought they should not have left the WWE with only one world title. I thought, you know, they should have just kept it separate. You know, I know they didn't have the conjoined rosters and still do. And I just thought it's bad because you don't give that other guy exposure. You know, they're making the United States title more precious, the Intercontinental title more precious. The hardcore title, maybe in a few years. And, you know, just focus on getting the United States title and the Intercontinental title back to prestige. And, you know, if in 3 years the United States title means nothing again, do away with it. You know, only do the hardcore title if it's, you know, extreme, street fight, whatever, you know, backstage brawl. And under 24/7 rules, because that'll bring not only prestige to the mid-card, but also to SmackDown, to main event, to superstars, to even Raw, you know, whatever. And you could also do a breaking news skit where, you know, breaking news, so-and-so wins a hardcore title, and you bring us the match that surveillance cameras called. But not right now. Just let the United States title and the Intercontinental title, let them work, and we'll see how it goes. You know, perhaps in a few years. Perhaps in a few years, I would like it. Now I transition into modern day WWE, and I was asked by my friend Dean, who has always been a Adrian Neville supporter, who now has dropped his first name like Cesaro, Rusev, all those guys, and now goes by Neville. You haven't seen this guy, you must. You absolutely must. I saw him in NXT and absolutely loved him. And now he's come on the Raw scene that he's taken the world by storm. And, oh, this perfect spot where Ziggler was laying down on the outside. Adrian Neville walked across the barricade and hit a 450 splash. And if you don't know, the barricade, it must be about 4 feet high at the most. 4 feet high. It was incredible. YouTube it. YouTube Ziggler and Neville. Please, you know, you won't regret it. Why does WWE need to promote them? How far can Neville go? Since debuting, he's had 2 wins over Axel, Curse Axel, the son of Mr. Perfect. He's had a loss to WWE World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins. You know, you don't normally get a high-profile match like that. And then he lost to Ziggler the following week. You don't have that often, you know, facing Ziggler. And then he had DQ victory over Sheamus on SmackDown, you know, when he was thrown into the barricade. I'm actually glad he didn't get the Mighty Mouse gimmick. I think he can go far. And I've always thought he can go far after seeing, you know, him beat Bo Dallas in a ladder match for the NXT Championship and then getting John Cena's approval there. I thought, oh, man, we're going to see this match in 5 to 6 years for the WWE Championship or something. We're going to see this match at WrestleMania or some big event. I'm so excited for Neville and how far he can go. I really think he should really go for the Intercontinental or the United States title first and work his way up. And one day win the Money in the Bank and respectfully cash in on, yeah, like a guy like John Cena. Which would mean John Cena would break Blair's world title record of 16. And that pains me to say. But John Cena's growing on me. Which brings me into my next segment. Will John Cena ever turn heel? Will John Cena ever be a bad guy on purpose? And I say on purpose. You know, you see crowds so much, they'll boo Cena. You'll see a crowd and they'll absolutely boo Cena. And there's like a quarter, 25% for math addicts out there. That'll be cheering Cena, and then the rest will be booing him. And the question was actually popped up on Talk is Jericho, sort of. It was called Live with Chris Jericho. I'm sorry. On the WWE Network, Jericho interviewed John Cena. And, you know, I don't like John Cena. And I was debating whether I'd listen to it. And I'm like, okay, I'll listen to it. And I don't like John Cena, but I actually started to grow some respect for him. And he was asked this very question, will he ever turn heel? And obviously he said the politically correct answer, which he's amazing at doing, that he would do whatever the company told him to. He would do whatever the company needed. He says it's validation when he goes to the ring and he sees like a 5 or 6 year old kid, you know, cheering him on. And he's like, if that's the only person cheering me, he's fighting for them. I can respect that. There was also Make-A-Wish, you know, that he does for little sick kids. And kids look up to him. And, you know, it's also merchandise and everything. And, you know, it's why do we boo Cena? Because I thought about that. I mean, it's like, this guy's great. He's about kids, you know, hustle, loyalty, respect. And, you know, he actually lives by it. He's actually genuine. You know, some will disagree. But why do we boo John Cena? I boo John Cena. A lot of the adults boo John Cena. You know, is it because we want something different? No, we don't. Is it because we hate the PG era and want Austin 316 back? you know, for some of you, I guess. But it's cool, and I'm using finger quotes here. It is cool to boo John Cena. It's cool to boo John Cena. And if he ever turned heel, which many have been asking for quite some time, that young kid may boo John Cena and, you know, feel betrayed by him. And it's awful. And then, you know, you have the bigger guys, you know, the adults who start to cheer John Cena because he's a heel now. John Cena's a heel. Tell me this, like, you won't get the entire crowd booing. Okay, no matter what you do, why turn him heel? Right now, why turn him heel? And if Cena's having so much fun, you know, being the face, and he's good at it, then why turn him heel? And if he's having validation, if it keeps him going, then why not? Why not keep him face and, you know, retire him as a face, let him go into the Hall of Fame the next year as a face, and let him be an ambassador for the WWE. That's just my opinion. Okay, so I have about 2.5 minutes left. 4 questions, that just simply is not enough time. I will be doing a sports podcast next week, as well as a wrestling podcast, where I will, you know, preview Extreme Rules, talk about that, give you my predictions, you know, what can happen. And I'll need a few minutes to fill. So, I am guessing about 10. So, 10 would be enough to talk about. Here's the question submitted. What kind of events was I a part of? And, you know, I'm so grateful for you and your questions. I'll give you this right now. I have been a part of EFEDS where I play a created superstar, you know, where I play a real superstar like the ones you see on TV, you know, not made up characters, fictional in my mind. Also Chain, where, you know, there's one thread and you go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth with another person. And also Promo Based, where you have to, you know, write a promo each week when you're in match and work on that. So that's going to be fun. Also, I'll be talking about who are my favorite CWs, you know, created superstars of all time, not my own. And I'm looking at this huge list, and I can't wait to go in detail about it. And what was the easiest, the hardest part about e-fetting? And I may actually cover booking as well with that question. And that's going to be a really insightful answer. And my favorite booker that I ever read, you know, I told you I'm a part of bookers and everything. That's going to be a huge list. I'm looking at it now. Thank you for listening. I am so grateful I didn't have to go in my fillers. I apologize for not being able to cover questions as expected, as warned pre-show. I will be into it next week. So listen in for that. Let me know on social media or in a private message, I don't care, how you like this show and, you know, any improvements for it. You know, I'd be appreciative. I'm going to send you out with this little sound bit clip. I'm going to need to look at Flash Kit for a new one. God bless, everyone!